1000-watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 10th of December, Anno Domini 2006, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 8 minutes after the hour, we'll be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use. What?
You know one thing we got to do? Maybe we'll do it the second hour.
What?
This way it'll give you guys a little time to think about it, because I've already been thinking about it.
Uh-oh. Dave's been thinking.
Yeah, I know. And I didn't even get a headache.
Yeah.
No, what we got to do is start thinking of what we want to, our hot toys.
Hot toys for the new Christmas season?
Yeah, for the Christmas season.
What I want to know is where are the rum balls?
Next week.
I missed that hangover.
No.
Yeah. Oh.
No, here's the thing.
Okay.
I always do my cooking the weekend before Christmas.
Is next weekend the weekend before Christmas,
yes,
Arnie?
Yes, because I get my grandchildren.
You ought to start shopping pretty soon.
Christmas is on a Monday, so there's actually two shopping weekends after this one.
Yeah, my wife and I always have the grandchildren the weekend before. This way it doesn't mess up, you know, where the kids are.
Right.
So they know the weekend before. And that's the weekend I start doing my Christmas cookies. And I've already got my list to do the rum balls.
Do you have the rum?
Oh, yes.
What'd you get?
Huh?
What kind of rum?
It's a Jamaican rum.
Yeah.
Y'all, man.
Jamaican me crazy,
if
man.
If you see, if you listen to only one soundbite show a year, next weekend is definitely the weekend.
It's usually by hour two that we're all just like, you're listening to, oh, I don't care.
What happy hour question?
All right. Here's an interesting news item for those of you who do anything on the web. Millions of commercial websites, sure, but also personal blogs and forums will be required to report illegal images or videos posted by their users or pay fines of up to $300,000 if a new proposal in the U.S. Senate becomes law.
Wait a minute.
Now that means they're going to have to look at everyone's account anyway just to see, make sure there's nothing illegal.
And wait a minute. Where are they going to get the money to do this? It's called the World Wide Web.
If you're in the United States and you run a personal blog that other people can sign to, or they can put stuff in your guest book, or you've got a forum on your site, you will be under this law. The legislation drafted by Senator John McCain requires websites that offer user profiles to delete pages posted by sex offenders. Technology, according to him, technology has contributed to the greater distribution and availability and desire for child pornography.
Not that I'm, you know, I'm one of the biggest advocates for child porn.
Child porn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, fighting against it. You know, yeah. I mean, I've been doing it. I've already turned in, what was it, 4 or 5 people already. And I'll do it to my dying day. I don't care if it was even a relative. But, you know, sometimes these officials go chasing after dreams that they'll never catch.
Right.
And I mean, you know, like I say, not that I'm for, not for fighting against it. I'll do anything I can to help fight against it. But you got to know your battles and pick them wisely.
Right.
So but the important
Soundbites is part of that, because we have pictures on our website.
We have pictures and we have a forum. And so, and you folks who have any kind of personal blog, anything like that, need to know that if this proposal becomes a law, if you do find and report some form of obscenity, and it's not just child pornography,
right,
it's obscenity, and nobody knows what that means, so it's a pretty loose definition, the website must retain any information relating to the facts or circumstances of the incident for at least 6 months.
So now you're in possession of illegal property.
But only, right. Internet service providers already follow these reporting requirements. But it's this proposal is likely to be controversial because it levies the same regulatory scheme and even stiffer penalties on individual bloggers or anybody who offers a discussion area on their website.
Just think of
to the Electronic Frontier Foundation, it is constitutionally dubious, and they're saying it's just basically a grandstanding way to get some attention.
Well, it's the undue hardship on the small business and personal user. Now, you have to look at every single picture posted on your blog. You have to check every single username against some... Is there a national registry of known sex offenders? So now, if a sex offender posts on your message board, you have to report them. So that means you have to know who they are.
Yeah, but even more simpler than that, Steve, what if somebody posts something and I go in there and say, I find that offensive?
Right.
Right.
And then you get sued for restraint of free speech.
I could be sitting there saying something, you know, it's totally, you know, legit. But if somebody finds that offensive, and that's what this law is opening the door up to.
Yeah, they don't, you know, they don't.
Somebody finds it offensive.
Right.
They can be
fine.
You
remember, it was probably 10 years ago now, AOL got into a lot of trouble. One of the issues back then was that AOL always marketed themselves as a family-friendly service. So they filter naughty words. And one of the words they added to their list was breast. And so all the breast cancer support groups started getting content filtered out. So then they said, we're sorry, we won't do that. And then the next week, they got sued for not filtering an anti-Semitic message.
Right.
So, you know, how do you choose?
Right. It's
filter
it's
everything becoming, or filter
damned
nothing.
Damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Right. Yeah. It's becoming very tough nowadays to do any of this stuff. All right. We got time for a call? Sure we do. No, we don't. Do we? Yes or no?
He's like a bobblehead.
A yes or no? Jeez and crackers.
His mouth is saying yes. His head is saying no.
His eyes are saying yes, yes. Our first caller is Bill from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question? We don't even have to wait for the second hour next week. You're gone already. All right, go ahead, Bill. What's your question?
You know, the reason why he's doing the bobblehead is because this might take a little longer than you think. So I'm a very novice operator of a computer.
All right.
And it's a Windows program that I have on. It's a XP Home Edition.
Yep. Sure.
And a live update came along from Windows. It said, like, Windows 7.
Yep.
Well,
live update is from Symantec.
No, this is... He got IE 7. You got Internet Explorer 7.
You got IE 7, yeah.
From Windows update.
Right. And your machine is all messed up.
Yes, it is. I talked to a couple of coworkers, and... they suggested that I go into the Add Remove program.
Yep.
So on my taskbar.
Yep.
So I clicked on that, Add Remove, and it won't open up the program.
Now, here's what you got to do. You got to go to the start. You go into the control panel.
Yep.
In the control panel, there's Add Remove programs.
That's where I went. Yep.
All right. You click on that. That should open up a panel, and you should see all the programs that are installed on your computer.
Okay. It will not open that window.
What happens when you
get
try?
An error message?
I hear the computer doing some clickety clack stuff inside the mainframe, but it doesn't open up on my screen.
All right, here's what you might have to do is restart the machine.
Okay.
And press F8.
Okay.
Keep hitting F8 until you get a screen. The very top option will be safe mode.
Okay.
Go into safe mode.
All
and
right.
Then go into the control panel, the Add Remove, and uninstall Internet Explorer IE 7.0.
Okay.
Now, if you have problems with this, in other words, it still won't open it for you.
Yep.
I would suggest you do is in that same program, there is another program called System Restore. You can pick a point that you can roll back to, say, like the day before that you installed IE 7. Try that.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 16 minutes after the hour, and you are listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham now.
Wham Morning News.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Give us a call if you're in the 585 area code. It's 222-1180, 800-295-1180, or star 1180 for Verizon Wireless customers. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and we have an exciting and interesting news item now. Engineers at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology have been doing research on transistor technology and hope that they will jumpstart a new development phase in tiny electronics, even smaller than iPods and cell phones. MIT engineers estimate that silicone transistors hit a wall in terms of size and performance in the next 10 to 15 years. So they're working with new composite materials to reliably outpace the conducting speed of silicon. One such material is indium gallium arsenide, a material in which electrons travel many times faster than in silicon. They recently demonstrated transistors that can carry 2.5 times more current. The transistor was only 60 nanometers or billionths of a meter long. The benefit could lead to smaller devices that can process information more quickly. Each of us has several billion transistors working on our behalf every day in our phone, laptop, iPod, car, kitchen, everywhere. And they're looking at new semiconductor materials for transistors that will continue to improve in performance while devices get smaller and smaller. I don't know how much smaller a device can get than a nano, but it would be nice if it held a hell of a lot more music.
Right. And the problem has always been that the gallium arsenide chips have been, I wouldn't say common, but known about for years. The problem is it's very hard to make gallium arsenide.
Yeah, it is. They're very low yields.
And yeah. And so, you know, what I've read is that the best way to make it is in microgravity.
Right.
So every shuttle and other type of space mission that goes up carries a little gallium arsenide factory in it to make a few ounces on the way back.
But this is indium gallium arsenide.
Right, so maybe that's a little easier to make.
Right, right, right. So they're working on it. The point is that they just want everything to get smaller and faster. Some devices just can't get a lot smaller. I mean, how much smaller can you possibly make a cell phone?
Well,
first, it's got to reach from your ear to your mouth, and secondly, you got to have buttons to push.
One of the biggest things I've read about cell phones is they could make cell phones a lot smaller, but they can't get the batteries any smaller. A smaller battery means less talk life.
Right, 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 right.
So there's sort of an inherent limit on how small you can make a cell phone.
But the smaller you get it, the thinner it can be, even though it's got to cover that distance, like you say, from your ear to your mouth. But if they can get the batteries thinner, so right now the battery is usually just in one half of it. What I've heard talk of is because of getting it so thin that they'll split the batteries in actually two banks, thus making it thin.
Right, 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 right. Well, we'll see. We'll keep you apprised as time goes on. Our next caller is Jim from Greece, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Hi. My son and his family have a Mac G5. It's up in the attic, not very handy for anybody, and they hardly ever use it other than to download iTunes for their iPods. They'd kind of like a new computer for their kids for Christmas, and I'm it. And don't know whether to go with the PC or the Mac. Now, my son says, well, the Macs can run PC. And I said, well, I know you'd have to buy the operating system in addition, and I'm just not sure how handily it runs Windows-type programs.
Well, there are a couple of things you have to... Well, I'm sorry.
Say the general point is you don't need to run Windows software on a Mac because the Mac has 99% of the same software already available for it. It's usually custom access databases that you may need to run on your Mac.
Well, I would say it would depend, and I think you'd agree with me, is depending on what his school requires as far as programs.
Yes.
Otherwise, most of the stuff that average school would require a PC or a Mac.
Right.
Would
work. And they don't necessarily require a specific brand of computer. They need you to know word processing. So you can use Word. You can use AppleWorks.
Or
you can use OmniWrite.
Power presentation. PowerPoint.
Right. So you can do PowerPoint or Keynote or Pages. You know, there's the same software exists on both platforms.
Right. So the reality here, Jim, is that you can use whichever you want, and the real choice is which do you prefer, which has the, you know, first it's the programs that you're going to need, and in this particular case, it doesn't sound like you have, you need to make a preference in terms of system.
Right.
So the other thing is which is going to be easier for you to use, and if your folks are already used to using a Mac, get a Mac.
Okay. Thank you very much.
There you go. Yeah. The truth is, Jim, I think he was leaning toward a Mac.
Yeah, it's whatever they're
and just wanted us
with.
to validate that.
Yeah, the old thing we used to say is, who can you call in two in the morning?
That was going to be my next thing, is who can he go to?
Sundays at 11, you can call us here.
Right. 2 a.m, you call me, and I'm hunting you down. There's no question to that. Our next caller is John from Rochester, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Guys, I got an old Dell Inspiron. It's got Windows 2000 Pro on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to hook it up to a wireless network. It's a Linksys router.
Mm-hmm.
And I go through all the wizards and everything, and it says it's hooked up fine. And as soon as I try to use it, it says dialing. I can't get it to look for the router.
there's a preference. Yeah. Where is it in 2000? It's under networking. There's a checkbox somewhere that says always dial.
Internet connection?
Internet options and then connections.
Yeah.
It shows a checkbox that says always dial.
Yeah.
And you want to uncheck that so it looks on your LAN.
And say never dial.
Right.
Never dial.
Right.
And then there's also settings. And in that toolbox, you got to go into and you can have it check the top box, which says automatic. Automatically find the, what is it?
Well, that's to automatically detect proxy server. Yeah, you don't need that if you're not running a proxy server.
Right. But the other thing is check in the BIOS that the wireless port is actually on. Some of them actually have a switch.
Yep.
A physical switch on the board that says, you know, is it on, is it off?
And that helps on laptops because wireless can draw a lot of power.
Right.
I mean, when I get into the device drivers, there's no yellow question marks, and it tells me the device is working properly.
Right, yeah.
Right, and it's because you've essentially told your system, and I put that in quotes, your system to preferentially use the dial-up and, in fact, to always use the dial-up.
Okay, so go back and try to get rid of the dial-up stuff and then check the BIOS. And
yeah, you don't have to get rid of it. You just got to tell it to never dial.
Never dial.
Yep.
Okay, guys.
Yep.
Thanks for help.
There you go.
See, it's a little trickier in 2000 because it didn't know that much about wireless back then. But in cases, especially with laptops, is sometimes you want to use the wire, sometimes you want to use wireless, sometimes you need to use the modem, depending on your location.
Right. All right, we are going to take a quick break. The mighty, mighty Glenn Lamberts is in to do the news, weather, and sports, all the important information. And then on the other side of that, we will be back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco. It is 28 minutes after the hour, and you lucky people, you're not only listening to Sound Bites, but you can be part of it. Remember, call in. The phone number is 222-1180, 800-295-1180, or star 1180 if you are a Verizon Wireless customer. I mean, that's what we do here. We're just, you know, you can sit and listen to us talk, I suppose, but a large part of what we do is let you join in on the fun. You can ask us a question. If you want Dave's recipe for rum balls, that will cost you money. But, and Rob's already smiling. He's just thinking rum balls. Rob's like a week in advance here. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with the greatest computer show in the known universe. And that is Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Hi. News.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 33 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Sound Bites.
So I got people instant messaging me now going, come on, Dave needs to give up the rum ball recipe.
Yeah.
Family, friends that are listening right now, they're going, no, he needs to give the rum. No.
All right, get a piece of paper. I'll tell you what the rum ball recipe is.
Rum.
A whole lot of good Jamaican rum and some other stuff. What do you care what the rest of it is? Shut up. Give us a call at 222-1180, 800-295-1180, or star 1180 for Verizon Wireless customers. Before we get back to the phones, you should know there was a, I hope you're sitting down. If you're driving, pull over, because this one's a shocker. A security hole has been found in Windows Media Player.
Still my heart.
I'm coming, Elizabeth. Users are being advised to disable a type of file in Microsoft's Windows Media Player software following the discovery of a new security hole in the software. Windows Media Player versions 9 and 10 are affected by the flaw, which could allow a malicious attacker to run unauthorized software on a victim's PC or cause a denial of service attack. The flaw is due to, everybody say it with me, buffer overflow error, just like every other problem. All right. It can occur when a Windows Media Player is used to run .asx media files. Such files open automatically in a web browser, meaning a hacker would need only to post an infected .asx file in a web page and then lure users to visit the page. An infected file could also be sent via email, in which case users would need to be persuaded just to open the email, and we know how easy that is. Users can protect against the vulnerability in Internet Explorer by preventing it from opening .asx files automatically. Turning off active scripting also greatly reduces, but does not eliminate the risk. You can upgrade to Windows Media Player 11, which is said is not affected. Microsoft is still determining
this hole.
Right. Microsoft is still determining whether it needs to issue an out-of-cycle security fix or just wait until the next monthly update.
I just hate it when my ASX causes problems.
Sure, we all know about your ASX and the kind of problems it can cause, but we're going to go back to the phones now, and our next caller is Jim from Syracuse, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Peachy, how are you?
Where in Syracuse are you? I have to ask.
Say again?
Where in Syracuse are you?
Eastside.
Eastside?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're...
Matter of fact, DeWitt cuts my yard in half.
Okay.
That must make it tough to mow.
It does.
No, see, the reason I ask is my sister-in-law lives in Warners.
Oh, Warners. Yeah, okay.
Warners.
That's the other side of town.
Yeah, you're on. She's on the west side.
Right.
And sometimes she'll sit there. Well, I can't always get you.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait a minute, Lou.
Yeah.
I get folks that are calling, and this guy's over on the east side. That's the other side, past the fair and the town and everything else.
Yeah. Well, I'm a ham operator, and I got a field of antennas up. So.
Oh, there you go. Now everybody knows who you are, Jim.
Yeah.
What's your question?
How can we help you?
Okay. All of a sudden, for God only knows what reason, probably wrong phase of the moon, my Windows update has stopped working. I get to the page, and I find the updates that need to be doing. I click on, the download the thingers, and it comes up, and it either can't or won't download them.
What version, what OS are you running? Windows XP?
XP, that's it.
Do you get an error message?
Nope.
Wasn't there a bug about a bad automatic update preventing the rest of the automatic updates to work and you had to take it out?
I don't recall
that. A while ago.
Yeah, because, first I was suspicious it was something I put on, and the only thing I'd put on was Fix It 7.0, but my wife's got it on her laptop, too.
Internet Explorer 7.0?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. Fix It 7.0.
Oh.
It's a utility. I won't use Internet Explorer for anything.
Good for
other
you.
Than updates. But, I thought I was suspicious of that, but my wife can get her updates fine, even though she's got Fix It 7.0 on hers, too.
All right, and both of you are running with Service Pack 2?
Uh-huh.
And what happens if you try to do it manually?
I haven't really tried that.
What you might want to do, here's the thing, and a number of folks can do this. This is what I've been telling folks right now, especially if there's still the Internet Explorer 7.0 out there lurking for them.
Uh-huh.
What you can do is you can go in and say manually download, and then you can do, it says either express or custom. Do a custom.
Right, I usually do.
Then it'll go and search your machine, and it'll come back with all the recommended things that it wants to download.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing I caution folks is one of them will be IE 7.0. For right now, there is a plus sign next to it. Click on the plus sign. It will open it up, expand it. And underneath there, you can check another little box that says, don't bother me with this download again, this particular download. So check that.
Right.
Then you can go and check the rest of the ones that you want to download.
Well, what I might suggest is uncheck a bunch of them and only install one or two at a time, and that might help you isolate which one isn't working.
Yeah, I tried that. Also, another weird thing that happens is when I go in and I check my history, I've got like 3 pages of uninstalled updates, and I know I've got them. And it's got the red mark there saying, it didn't get it, and I know darn well I got it.
You might have had one of those bad ones, and then it sort of blocked the rest.
And kept trying to redo the bad one again and again and again.
So if you do this by hand, you should be able to try one and see what happens, try the next one, see what happens, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And eventually you'll figure out what the bad one is, and you just pull it off the list.
And then I just posted a link to a Knowledge Base article on how to troubleshoot Windows updates.
Okay,
so
cool.
You can
That's
go to
great.
soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. And check our links and go from there. We're going to take another quick break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour, and you are listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Can I read it for you?
Like that. Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this, at 43 minutes after the hour, is Soundbites. Before we get back to the phones, as you know, Vista will be coming out. It has already come out for corporations. And will be coming out next month for individual users. Well, if you are a corporate, if you're a corporation, you have 25 or more machines, of course, every Vista machine has to be authorized, activated by Microsoft. If you're a large enough corporation, you can get essentially a key management server, which lets you authorize on your own network, activate Vista without having to make contact with Microsoft. Well, hackers are already distributing a file that lets users of the corporate version of Microsoft's Windows Vista operating system get around the software's anti-piracy mechanisms.
Think of the pain that IT managers would have to do to activate 100 new Vista machines in their corporation.
Right.
So it's a good thing on
Microsoft. Or 1,000 or 2,000 right. or 10,000.
So once again, the bad guys have taken advantage of a good feature.
Well, yes. And the problem is Microsoft, because, you know, Microsoft has imposed this on everybody, they've found a way around it. And now the other folks have found their way around it. The funny part about it is this crack is called Microsoft.Windows.Vista.Local.Activation.Server-Melinda Gates.
Well, one in the same token of this is one thing I found out that right now, because you know Vista is due out next month, that they PC World just did a study, and about half of the average business computers in North America are unable to meet the minimum, that's minimum
yep.
requirements set up for Vista operating system. That's 94% do not meet the system requirements for Vista Premier.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's going to be a big...
Expensive.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is going to be a big nut to swallow.
Yeah, it is. Well, the problem is you need way more RAM than you've already got. You need a way better video card than you've already got. And you probably need a faster computer than you've already got. And so a lot of corporations are really up against it. On the one hand, Microsoft is at some point going to stop selling XP and force you to go to Vista. On the other hand, people are simply not ready. This thing is not coming out at a time that's
economically...
That's acceptable in terms of your yearly budget cycle. People can't just upgrade machines at this point.
Yeah.
They've got a budget for them, find the money, put it in the next budget cycle, get an okay on it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
The irony of that is that we've known Vista's been coming for 4 or 5 years now, but we haven't known when, so we couldn't budget for it.
Well, Vista's, of course, already a 5-year-old operating system. They started working on it in 2001.
Well, no, did you hear there was some news report a couple of weeks ago? The first 2 years, they were just learning the technologies. They weren't really working on Vista.
Oh, okay. So
they've only been really working on Vista for 2 years.
And here's the thing, though. That's good. One, I consider Vista XP and steroids.
Right.
And a lot of the stuff that they promised originally when they announced Vista coming out has already been taken out.
So they can meet this deadline.
Yeah, so they can meet this right. deadline, and all it might really be left, in Service Pack 1.
There are some security features and a lot of eye candy. And that's if you don't have the video card and the speed to do the eye candy, you're really missing out on what's available under Vista right now. All right, our next caller is Aaron on a cell phone. Welcome, Aaron. What's your question? Aaron?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. I have a 3-computer network set up at home, 2 of which are connected wirelessly, and I'm having a heck of a problem transferring large files between the 2 wireless computers. It seems to somehow lose sight of the target computer. I lose the network connection midway through the transfer. It happens constantly.
How far apart are these wireless computers from the base station?
One's first floor, one's second floor, probably, you know, about 40 feet.
And how strong is the signal on each one?
Strong. I mean, it does waver throughout the transfer process.
Yeah, there's several things involved that could affect the wireless transfer. One is the construction of your house. With older houses, plaster over chicken wire, each room is its own Faraday cage, and you won't get good reception between them. And now we're even seeing in newer houses, they're using aluminum studs instead of wood, and all that metal will block the signal.
Right.
And if you have any 2.4 gigahertz portable phones or microwave oven, anything like that, you're trying to get through a kitchen with all the metal in the kitchen appliances.
Right.
So there's a lot of things like that can interfere with the wireless transfer. And you don't necessarily notice it when you're surfing the web because that's a lot of small little files.
Right, and if one gets dropped, it gets resent, no big deal.
Right, but a big continuous file transfer, you can run into these problems.
Okay, so then what would you advise? Should I look at the USB data link?
No, run an Ethernet wire.
Yeah.
Well, and one of the things you can do, there's a new wireless, not really technology, called MIMO, multiple in, multiple out. And you can get wireless routers with multiple antenna on them. And that helps better maintain the signal throughout the interference. But that's a different router to buy.
There you go. All right, we have to take another break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. It is 49 minutes after the hour, and you are listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
At 54 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites. All right, kiddies. Sit back. Put on your footy jammies. Grab that cup of hot cocoa and your teddy bear. Gather around the rocker because, once again, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. And here he is. Thank you. Somebody wake up Uncle Dave. It's time for his Story Hour. Uncle Dave.
I was going to say, we got to get some livelier music. ZZ Top or something.
You had the ZZs in there anyway.
Well, I'd rather have a ZZ Top.
Yeah, right.
All right, this story this week more or less goes back to an old story. If you folks have been listening to us for years, which I don't understand why you wouldn't be,
right?
Sort of relates to one of Nick's stories.
Uh-oh.
Yep. All right. You know, you've heard us over the years from time to time always saying, buy locally. Well, yeah, folks, you know, sometimes there's a lot to be said for that. I had a...
That's not just because we have some local vendors on the air here.
Right, right, right.
But the support is here. Now, I've had two different clients. They have bought machines from those bigger corporations that I won't name. But, you know, and they get their great deals. And because they saved a few bucks, you know, they consider, oh, well, you know, it's worth it. But when you get two of them, that all of a sudden the machines pop or break, and now all of a sudden they're going to be without a PC. And they come to you and say, well, do you have one you could loan me? No.
Well, yeah, they're all broken. That's what the back room is for.
You know, that's the big thing about having somebody locally. You can take it to them anywhere on either side of the city. Most of the vendors out there, if you know, you buy a machine from them, you take it into them, they can usually turn it around within a day or so. Yeah, they might be a few bucks more when you go to get the operating system versus a company that's pushing out thousands of computers a day. It's the reliability that, you know, if it's broken, you can take it over to it and say, hey, guys, can you get this fixed? And usually they can turn it around within a day. But if your computer is important to you, you might really think that over, because shipping it out, like both of these folks right now, literally are going to be without their computer, I'm saying with the holidays, probably 2 to 3 weeks. So, you know, there's something said to buying locally, folks. So consider that when you're looking into a computer. Could save
well, even
you
if you buy at a local superstore, who knows where the service is?
Yeah. All right,
and that's
kids.
The thing to check.
It's time to put away those footy jammies, finish your cup of cocoa, and listen to Glenn Lambert, who's coming in to bring us the news, the weather, the sports, all of that good stuff. We're going to put Uncle Dave back in that long-sleeved white jacket that he wears, and we'll be taking a bit of a break from him.
We're not breaking yet.
I know that. We're taking a bit of a break from him.
Yes.
And we're going to go to the phones now.
No.
We're not going to go to the phones? We're not going to go to do anything? We're just going to sit here and chit-chat? Why did you play the music then?
How many times I got to tell you that I'll press the buttons, you talk.
All right, I'll be talking then. I just thought I had no idea what you were
But that goes to back to your... So folks know what I'm talking about. Yeah. But back to your old days of when you were selling computers.
Yep.
And how that one guy saved a few bucks.
$5.
Well, $5. He saved. He kept going back and forth between me and somebody else, and eventually said, you know what? I can get it $5 cheaper down the road. I said, go!
Yeah.
Go for $5 if that's what you want. I'm tired of arguing with you. And he goes, and then like 2 weeks later, he comes back with this list of questions. I said, wait a minute. You didn't even buy a computer. He said, oh, I bought it down the road, but I got some questions. I said, why don't you go ask them? He said, they don't know anything. You're the only guy in town who knows anything. I said, that wasn't worth $5 to you. I won't answer your questions. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You bought from them. Get your support from them. Well, it was cheaper there, but they don't do support. So he thought he'd get a support free for me.
That's
yeah, well,
why.
You know what? I don't think so.
Well, and that's one thing to keep in mind wherever you buy your computer from is where do you get your support? Can you ask them questions after the sale?
Right. That's the big thing. One of the reasons that Dave and Steve are on this show is because they're very, very good at what they do. And frankly, we wouldn't have them on the show if they weren't good at what they do. And so when you buy from guys like them, and there are a bunch of other excellent people in town, I'm not saying they're the only ones.
Right.
When you buy from these excellent people, you get service and support. So one of the things you want to do before you buy anything is you want to talk to the people who are actually out there owning those machines, customers of those people, to see what kind of support and service that they've gotten, because that's what you really need to do. All right, now I suppose it's okay for you that we should go take a break. Is that all right with you now?
How long have we been doing this?
I'm just too
long.
Glad. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Sound Bites right here on 1180 WHAM. Until then, you've got Glenn Lamberts with the news.
Watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And that's the tune I want now for Story Hour.
No, because you guys do a mean air guitar. Seriously.
We do.
I want that for Story Hour.
How is that Story Hour? That's disturbing.
That's not disturbing for me.
When we think of Story Hour, we need to be mild.
No, come on.
We need to think about
that. No!
We need something good.
I'm trying to keep them awake. Now put them to sleep.
One guy named Beard and two guys with a beard. ZZ Top.
All right. Maybe we should make that the poll.
Yeah.
What music we should have?
Yeah.
All right, maybe we'll do that next week if you email me and remind me. It's 6 minutes after the hour and you're listening to Soundbites. Before we get back to the phones, I want to talk a little bit about what goes on at our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week we do a poll. Last week's poll was about the iPhone, the rumored Apple iPhone, and the question was, would you buy an iPhone? 308 of you answered the poll, making it number 136 on the all-time hit list. The overwhelming favorite answer, 81% of you said, I don't think so, followed by, I think I'll wait and see, and only 11 of you said, I can't wait. This week's poll is about a news item that we have in hand here. I already told you about the new security flaw in Windows Media Player. Well, there is a zero-day flaw in Word. Now, as you know, a zero-day flaw means the day we see and hear about the hole is the same day we actually see code out in the wild that takes advantage of it and tries to break into your system. That's a zero-day flaw. They're the worst kind. Now, we also know that this coming Tuesday is Microsoft's monthly visitor. It's Patch Tuesday, and Microsoft will be fixing six security bulletins, two of which are deemed critical. Five of the security bulletins include fixes for vulnerabilities in Windows. The sixth bulletin will offer an update for Visual Studio. You'll notice that nowhere in there does it say anything about the zero-day flaw in Word. Microsoft has not scheduled a patch for Office. Earlier this week, it warned that as yet to be patched security hole is in multiple versions of Word, just about every version that there is. It is being exploited currently in cyber attacks. The software maker is working on a security update, but apparently needs more time. They didn't say when it would be available, what they're going to do about it, what's going on. But they have no fix yet. Microsoft will also be releasing on Tuesday an updated version of their Windows malicious software removal tool that also doesn't fix this problem. So I don't know what to tell you about that, except that now this week's poll is, are you worried about the unpatched security hole in Word? And the choices are yes, no, I use a different word processor, yes, but it's easier to just use Word and hope, And no, I just use Word and hope. So far, we've had approximately 69 of you voting, and the overwhelming choice so far, 41% of you said no, I use a different word processor, followed by yes, followed by no, I just use Word and hope, and 9 who say yes, I am worried, but it is easier to just use Word and hope. So please vote. When you're done with the voting, you'll see a little yellow box underneath the poll, and there's a link there that says give us your opinion. That link will take you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
What?
Play that one again. I don't even know what that is.
Been too long since you had a crying baby in the house.
All righty then.
Hey, I do my best.
Apparently you do.
Yep. And we won't go there.
That's damning with faint praise. And there you will be able to put in a little bit more about what you would like, what you can answer the question, what would it take to get you to switch from Microsoft Office to something safer? And hey, as long as you're at the Ask Nick website, check it out. You can see that I do a monthly newsletter. Monthly, three times a week I send out a newsletter approximately. And it's got questions and answers, tips and tricks, website of the week, rants and raves, interesting information, blah, 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 three times a week. And then in my forums, we also discuss a bunch of interesting things. But you do have to be a member to be part of that. Of course, it only costs $15 a year. So that's not really a lot of money to spend for that kind of news and information and stuff. And
where's that again?
That's at
AskNick.com.
Oh, Woody Woodpecker.
Yeah. I'm running out of stuff. I mean, we only have, like, the country's largest computer system here, and I'm just not finding stuff that works.
Well, you'll just have to work harder.
I'm going to work on that. I'll get back to you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. But that's not bad. I like Woody Woodpecker, one of my favorites. Walter Lance, a Walter Lance cartoon. That's what happens at our website. And so join us, and we'll see what goes on. We'll go back to the phones now, however, and our next caller is Judy. From Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Judy. What's your question?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Peachy. Great. How are you?
I'm going to toot my own horn here for a minute, but I'm graduating from RIT in May.
Congratulations.
Between MCC and RIT, I've been in school since 1998.
God love you.
See, that's the way to never pay back your loans, is you always stay being
yeah,
a student.
Ooh, they're piling up. It's terrible. But I decided to make one more bill, and I've decided to buy myself a new laptop.
Yep.
So I have a couple questions because I don't know the difference in the processors from the AMD Turon 64x2 dual core or an Intel Core 2 dual processor.
It's the difference between a Ford and a Chevy.
Yeah.
They both do the same things.
Yeah.
So they're both good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So I can actually go with the cheaper one and still be happy.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, that's a different question.
Oh.
What are you going to be doing with the computer? If you're going to do, if you're going to do high-end CAD work, then don't go with the cheaper one.
No. It's just mostly, it's going to be my home computer. I do a lot of web stuff, and I do database stuff.
Well, then if you're going to go that, kind of look into the graphics, you're going to want a gig of memory.
Right.
And if you can get, a lot of them now are coming with the ATI Radeon onboard 128 meg video card, get that.
Okay.
Because of the web stuff and that, you're going to want it. You don't want to sit there and get, say, a gig of memory, use onboard memory that uses part of the memory from
onboard video. Yeah. Onboard video you'll find to be in the cheaper computers, but it makes it slower.
Well, she's buying a laptop.
Yeah.
Right. And the graphic cards, I'm looking at an HP, and the graphic card that they're offering is either 256 or 512.
512.
Nvidia GeForce R.
512.
Okay. The other thing is that my husband has finally talked me into looking at Linux.
Good for him.
And though I may not say this right, Ubuntu?
Ubuntu.
Yeah, okay.
Sure.
Well, he's been coaching me all morning on how to say it, and I just laughed.
Judy, one other thing then you might want to get?
Yes.
All right. So if you want to play with Linux, that's great. For a laptop, then what you want to do is get a second hard drive.
That's what I was going to ask.
And put it this way, you can swap operating systems. You can, put one in, have it boot up for, say, your XP. Now you want to play with Linux. You just shut her down, pop in the other hard drive because they slide in and out so easy nowadays.
Okay. Okay.
Generally speaking, Ubuntu is an ancient African word, which means I can't configure Debian. But basically, it's an operating system that works very much like Windows. The big problem, you can do all the same things you do. Everything you want is free, 20,000 plus software packages. The big thing is, it's like buying a new car.
Right.
You still know how to drive, you just don't know where the controls are.
Right. And he's slowly drawing me into this evil web of
coming to the dark side.
Well, let me tell you something, Judy. My 14-year-old daughter has a Linux box.
Okay.
Because when I built her a machine, I thought to myself, you know what? I do this all day. I'm not going to do it at home too.
Right.
So she's on Linux, and there's really nothing she can't do. She swaps files with, you know, with all the students at work, and so she does her word processing and her spreadsheet and her all the other stuff that she has to do, and nobody knows she's not on Windows, and she can IM her friends, and she gets on the web and does everything.
Okay.
So she can do it all. It does take a little bit of setting up, but it sounds like your husband can help you with that.
Yeah, he can.
And then from then on, it's just a matter of using it. It's a great operating system. It certainly is a lot more relaxing when you're surfing the web and you think, this is a slightly dodgy site. Oh, I don't care.
What about the wireless? Is that hard to set up with the...
It depends entirely on the wireless card in the machine. I believe that Ubuntu is one of the best in terms of wireless.
Okay. Yeah, because I think it's a... I had it here.
It's probably the Centrino bundled wireless. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing you might want to do...
Wireless network connection.
Right. One thing you might want to do is head over to the HP website.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah, and check to see if they have a specific driver for Linux.
Oh, okay.
In fact, they may even have machines with Linux pre-installed.
I couldn't find that. And the one that I found on the IBM was like a $3,000 machine.
Yeah, it's a nice machine, though. Mm-hmm. Boy, is it a nice machine.
I want a new laptop, but I'm kind of cheap, too.
Yeah, right.
Don't want to run up the national debt.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
But there you go. I think it's an exciting adventure.
And as
Dave says, if you buy a second hard drive, even if you decide it's not something you really want to do all the time, you haven't really lost anything because you've got Windows on the other hard drive.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Go for it, Judy.
Merry Christmas.
You too. There you go. I love to see the adventurous types. Our next caller is Rick in Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Rick. What's your question?
Yes, I'm fairly new to all this, and I'm very uneducated when it comes to computers, so you'll have to bear with me.
Not a problem.
When I turn on my Windows XP and I go to onto the web, it says runtime error has occurred. Do you want to debug? What does that exactly mean?
Does it happen at every website?
No, just when I go to, as a matter of fact, when I went on to WAM 1180, it said the same thing. It goes on to almost everyone.
What browser are you using?
The AOL.
That's the problem.
Yeah, it's not a problem in your machine. It's a problem with AOL's browser. It's possible that that's a Java or JavaScript error.
Yeah, it says line error has occurred.
Yeah, and what that means is there's a problem with the way your browser interprets JavaScript.
Oh, okay. So
and it's nothing you can fix if you're going to continue to use the AOL web browser.
Okay. Now, my wife likes to go on to the XL, Internet Explorer 2. We also have that. So is that safe?
No.
Well, Internet Explorer 2?
Yes.
7 is the current version.
Yeah, so you're way back there.
That we don't recommend because it doesn't work any better.
What operating system are you running?
What do you mean? I don't know. The computer's only a year old, so I have the Pentium 4 Windows XP.
There you go, well, XP.
Then you're probably running IE6. You can't be running IE2.
Right. What you want to do is try downloading, go to Mozilla.com.
Get Firefox.
And get Firefox.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a much better browser. It's a current browser, supports all the current standards.
Java
automatically with AOL since I was a Roadrunner, Time Warner Roadrunner.
Right, but AOL's internal browser is a few steps behind of the rest of the standards.
Oh, okay.
And that may well be your problem. So once you get online, you don't need to necessarily run AOL if you're on Roadrunner. You just start your machine and run Firefox. You should be fine.
Yeah, you can still run the AOL interface to get to your mail and stuff, but when you want to open a web page, use Firefox.
Right, exactly.
Oh, I see. Okay, so I'll just, it's not my problem then. It's actually AOL that's causing it.
It's actually an AOL problem.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Our pleasure, Rick. Enjoy. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour, and you are listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham! Sounding even better in HD. High Definition Radio is on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 23 minutes after the hour in high definition, it's Sound Bites. Are we actually high def right now, even as we speak?
Yes.
I am very excited. You can more clearly hear our dulcet tones.
Eh?
That really high def does a lot for talk shows, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Makes AM sound like FM.
Right.
And makes Nick sound like...
James Earl Jones.
That's right.
Luke, I am your father. Toshiba has developed a 1.8-inch 100-gig... What?
Robot Chicken did this great little sketch on Star Wars. And they do that scene where Vader's, you know, says, "Luke, I'm your father." Well, no, if you're not going to take this seriously. Well, yeah, and when I was a kid, I made C-3PO. And Luke is just, you know, shaking his head. You know, if you're not going to take this seriously, I'm leaving.
Yeah. Toshiba has developed a 1.8-inch 100-gigabyte hard drive. Higher-capacity music players and laptop computers could be on the way thanks to a new hard drive from Toshiba that manages a 25% increase in storage space over current models. The new 1.8-inch hard drive can store 100 gigabytes of data, whereas current models hold a maximum of 80 gigabytes.
And my 60-gig drive is feeling really small now.
Exactly. Yeah. The drives are about the same size as a PC card, are commonly used in music players like Apple's iPod and in compact laptop computers. Toshiba plans to start mass producing the drives in January of next year. The company does not sell them direct to end users, but to other companies for integration into their products. The first 1.8-inch drive was developed by Toshiba in 2000, and it had a 2-gigabyte capacity and was $740. Now, an entire Apple iPod, which includes an 80-gigabyte hard drive and a color screen, only costs $350. So the prices have come down considerably. It'll be interesting to see when they start putting those new iPods out, those new 100-gigabyte iPods.
Well, the 80-gig models just come out a couple of months ago.
Right, so it's time.
Yeah. we still have big sales on the 60-gig models, yeah, right, in our store. Yeah. And we're open on Sundays now until Christmas.
please buy the 60-gigabyte models. Right? I know all about that. All right, our next caller is Bill from Webster, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question? Bill?
Well, Rob's got to be in the room to push the button.
Yeah.
Where'd Rob go?
Our next caller is Bill from Webster, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
I am running Windows 2000, and I am looking for Adware without the Google Pack, which only runs in XP. If you try to download Adware now, it only comes, from what I can find, with the Google Pack. Hello?
The other way. If you download the Google Pack, you get Adware 2. But if you go right to Lavasoft's webpage...
Oh, Lavasoft's webpage.
Yeah, okay. They're the company that makes Adware. You can download just Adware from them.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Second question. My computer recently... went down. I couldn't turn it on.
Mm-hmm.
I brought it in. I had a new power supply put in.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since then, when I come to my computer in the morning, it's frozen. The mouse won't work, and the keyboard won't work, and I am forced to turn it off and turn it back on.
Does the clock still have the correct time on it in the lower right-hand corner?
It has been keeping... I changed it after the power supply change, and right now it says Sunday, December 10th.
Okay,
so the computer is running fine, and it's your mouse and keyboard that have stopped working.
One thing you might want to look at is in the power settings. Within Windows XP, look under
I'm using 2000.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. If you go in, because all the Windows have in the control panel what they call energy saving settings.
Understand. Already everything is on. Never turn anything off.
Okay, and then the other place that it can be is in the BIOS.
Okay.
that might have been reset, that you want to go into the BIOS and look under energy and make sure that any of the hibernation or energy saving settings have been disabled in there.
I think that's probably the only thing I didn't look at.
Another thing to check just to be safe is shut the computer down, pull the cover off, make sure the cables are tight. Because sometimes when you replace the power supply, some of the other cables get worked loose.
Or the fans. If any of the fans came loose, it could be an overheating issue.
Well, it never happens during the day.
Even if you leave it running all day long?
I always leave my computer on.
Mm-hmm.
But it never happens only during the day. It only happens when I'm not using it at night.
Yeah, that sounds like one of the idles is not un-idling.
Right.
Is that the BIOS solution?
It's pretty likely, yeah. Give that a shot.
Or double check all the settings in the control panel just to make sure.
And the display under the display control panel, there's a setting in there for putting the display to sleep, too.
Right.
Yes, you know, sleep was intended for laptops to conserve battery life.
I don't even know why they have them in desktops.
Well, because
it's the same BIOS.
It's the same BIOS. And 300 million desktops wasting electricity is a lot of electricity that some power plants polluting the air
make
for us.
There's no point in putting something out that doesn't work.
Right, yeah, make it work. You know, well, sleep works fine. It's waking up that doesn't work.
Right. Anyway, Bill, give those things a try. Let us know if they don't work. Let us know if they do work. We never hear back when things do work. Our next caller is Jeff from Canandaigua, New York. Welcome, Jeff. What's your question?
Hi. I bought a retail copy of Windows XP and put it on a computer that I had that I bought from somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that computer died, and I want to move that retail copy that I have to another machine. Am I allowed to do that?
Yeah.
Sort of. Well, yeah, you're allowed to do that. But
yeah, because if that physical machine is dead, in other words, it's not around...
Right. You can only have Windows installed on one computer at a time.
Right.
The problem is going to be when you go to activate that copy of Windows, it won't because it's already activated.
You're going to have to call in and then speak to a person and say, because they're going to ask you, well, why are you doing this? It was registered on this. Yeah. You right up front tell them, hey, that computer died and it, you know, it's not going to be resurrected or anything else. I'm putting it onto a new computer. You're allowed to do that as long as that other machine is physically... not around it.
Not operating, yeah.
I called Microsoft and asked them that, and the guy that I spoke to was obviously the lowest-level tech support person, said that I was out of luck. I could not reactivate it.
Yes, you can.
Well, yeah, call back and get a different guy.
Yeah.
The key phrase to use is I'm moving my XP to a new computer. I want to activate it on the new computer.
Or a better thing to do, which is the truth, is, all right, you go ahead and install it, and then you're going to get the activation, and it's going to tell you an 888 number to dial.
Okay.
You dial that, and you're going to have to put in that long code that it'll generate. Now, when you get the person on the phone, which is the truth, you tell them the computer died. You're doing a reinstall.
Okay.
And they will then give you the activation code.
Okay.
Because I've had to do that to folks. I literally, just last week, had a person, the motherboard blew up.
Right.
And it was a proprietary motherboard. So I took their hard drive.
Even if it's the same computer, you put a new hard drive in your same computer, Windows thinks you're stealing it and you have to call them.
Yeah, there's a certain percentage of the hardware that must remain the same.
Yep.
And it's a very high percentage. So sometimes just changing out the hard drive itself causes the thing to need reactivation.
Or if you get the same motherboard and it has a different BIOS version.
Right.
That's enough of a change.
That's enough of a change.
Yeah, the key is that you don't want to say you're installing it on a second computer. You're installing it, you're replacing the old computer.
Yeah, make it very
computer.
Clear that the original PC is gone.
It died.
An ex-PC has joined the PC invisible.
If you hadn't nailed it to the perch, you'd be
invisible.
Pushing up the day.
Exactly right. This is an ex-PC.
There, it moved.
Speaking of which, you know, talking, I said we should get into this, and since it's already 12:30, all right, what are you guys looking for?
All right, let's make sure we're done. Jeff, are we done?
I think we're done.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much.
Let us know what happened.
And the same problems occur with Adobe software, Macromedia software, a lot of the third-party programs you'll have to also now reactivate since it thinks you're stealing them by installing on a second computer.
Of course, all we Linux folks are laughing up our sleeves at you right now.
Yeah. Why? It's business for me. But anyways, so what are you two guys looking for Christmas as far as new toys?
What am I looking for or what am I recommending to other people?
Both.
I recommend if you've got somebody on your Christmas list who is a geek, you can almost never go wrong with a nice USB thumb drive. They come in versions up to 8 gig, well, even higher, but the fours and eights are available now. You can get a little external hard drives for, 40 gigabytes or 60 gigabytes. And those make nice things, particularly if people are moving files back and forth to work.
the best website to go to is thinkgeek.com. You find all kinds of great geek toys.
I love ThinkGeek.
They have a Bluetooth headset you can get for your cell phone. Yeah. That looks like a 50s style telephone. it's a retro headset now. But yeah, really great stuff. Cubicle Wars. You got to bring in your rocket launcher, Nick.
Oh, I will.
USB Nerf rocket launcher.
They sell that on here, too. It's a little Nerf rocket launcher. You connect it to your USB port. There's a little Windows program that you run. It tracks left and right, tracks up and down, and fires the three little Nerf missiles. It is so stinking cool. And if you're into it, there's a million little things you can connect to your USB port that people love. Little gadgets that you can connect to your USB port. There's snowmen. There's little aquariums. There's coffee mug warmers.
Yep.
Plug the little coffee mug warmer into your USB port, and it keeps your coffee warm. And there's another one that keeps your soda cold. So there's a bunch of little things like that that are available. There's a little USB snowbot, USB mini lava lamp.
Well, one of the things
microscope. There's just all kinds of cool things.
One of the things that I found that was cool, you're talking about, we've been talking about iPods and all that, and you don't want to go to the expense. I found a 1 gig MP3 player, USB MP3 player, and it was like $27.
Yep.
And that was before the $9 mail-in rebate.
Yeah, and you can find those all over the place. It's not an iPod or it's not a Zune. It's just a little player. If you already have MP3 files of your own, you just plug this thing in. It comes up like it was a USB hard drive.
Yeah.
You drag the music over, create your own folders to make your own playlist, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And then you can play the music. And it's real easy and real fast and real cheap. So those are some pretty neat things. And things like the USB mug warmer is only $12. So, or $13. So the mini lava lamp is $10. So,
who would buy that Equalizer T-shirt?
I love that Equalizer.
There's a T-shirt that actually has a little equalizer on it that actually reacts to sound and actually raises and lowers the bar.
An animated LED equalizer.
Yeah.
Did you see that? There's a lot of people have been asking about this, that Instant Music vinyl and cassette ripper. Did you see that on there?
I've seen that on there as well. Yeah. I have the actual turntable. I bought an actual turntable that rips through my USB port. That's pretty neat. But I'll answer your question as to who buys those equalizer shirts.
Yeah.
DJs.
Like us. DJs, yeah.
DJs.
Yeah.
I don't know a couple have one. Who are, well, you should,
well,
shouldn't you?
Now you know the site where you can get one.
Hint, hint, everybody. You're going to get like eight really of them for
Rob's
Christmas now.
Present.
What's your shirt size, Rob?
XL.
XL.
Thank you. On the radio.
On the radio.
Well, I got to tell everybody.
Okay, I'm sorry.
How about a USB lava lamp?
Well, just looking at you. I'm just taking a...
Thank you.
A wild butt guess, and I know you're not going to fit into a small...
You called me fat on the radio.
The
world's largest radio
station.
We
said you've got broad, husky shoulders.
We wish we could fit into a 1X.
Yeah, right. I'd kill in public to fit into a 1X. Shut up.
This is a really cool website.
It really is. One of my favorites is the original ring thing. It's a bottle opener hidden in a ring.
Yeah.
Pop open a bottle. Of course, you got to make sure you're wearing the
thing. So USB ports have enough power to power a mug warmer or a mug cooler?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really?
And if they, even if, they, yeah, they have enough power, but also you, when you put on an extender, an extension USB port, you can get those powered or unpowered. And if you get the powered ones, you can hook all kinds of stuff up to them.
Well, the USB even charges my cell phone.
Yeah.
Wow. I've got,
yeah, it charges your iPods,
because
charges
I've got,
lots of things.
My cell phone now hooks up to a USB port because I've got a program, so I don't like using that little keyboard to type in all the phone numbers.
Well, it's 5 volts on USB 1, but 12 volts on USB 2, right?
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, you know what, Nick? I'll send you my Christmas list from this website.
Well, thanks. And yeah, my Christmas list is this website.
Yeah, there you go.
What's your Christmas list? ThinkGeek.com. Thank you very much.
The USB Snowbot.
But see, I'd like to get like either a 19-inch flat panel.
Oh, yeah. Now you're talking.
I mean, you know, if I'm going to do something, a lot of folks, you know, when they're looking at systems and map them all out, they spend, you know, cut back on the monitor or the display, I should say, and, you know, go for this or bigger hard drives and all that. But the monitor is what you're going to stare at, and folks tend to go low-end. Whereas me, if I have my choice, if it's, say, a 256 graphics card or a 512 or a better monitor, I'm going with the 256 monitor and the 19-inch flat panel because right. That's what I stare at.
Yep.
Right. Spend the money where you spend your
and,
time.
Oh, they it's have easier. Daleks that talk.
Yeah, they do.
And it's easier on the ice. The new flat panels nowadays are so much nicer looking. They take up less.
And they're less expensive now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here are the two perfect gifts for Rob.
This snowman is really cool. Did you look at the pictures of what people have done with this thing?
Yeah.
They dressed him up shots. And he was guarding an iPod.
Yeah. The scrolling LED name badge.
Where is that?
And the scrolling LED belt buckle.
I already had the belt buckle.
Belt
the
buckle? Name badge.
Yeah.
Where's the name badge?
LED belt Search. Buckle. It's under electronic gizmos, about most of the way down the page. It is so cool. There's a three-pronged wall socket car adapter. all kinds of stuff. One of the things I bought for my wife already was the outdoor, and she already has this. It's not like I bought it for this Christmas. Is the outdoor LCD window thermometer.
Yeah.
You mount it on the outside of the window, and it's see-through, but it's a thermometer. It tells you what it resets itself at 3 o'clock every morning and tells you what the low is and what the high is for that 24-hour period, and it tells you what the temperature is. It's a little tough to read it at 3 o'clock in the morning when there's no light behind it, but during the day, it's a pretty terrific little device, and I'm pretty impressed by it. It just, you know, it mounts, and it's got little batteries in it, and you replace them as you need them, and it works pretty nicely. I really like that one. But, you know, if there's a geek in your life or if you're looking to put your list together or you're looking for that last-minute thing, there's a USB Christmas tree.
Is there really?
Yeah, it's a little USB Christmas. It's only $8. I mean, that's the kind of cute little stocking stuffer thing that you buy for somebody, and they actually love it. Here's one of my favorites. The TV Be Gone. Point it, press the button, virtually any television will turn off.
Sure. Well, they've had those for a long time. You can go to buy a universal remote and really tick people off.
Yeah, but this thing's teeny. It sits on your keychain, so nobody even knows you have it.
Well, Logitech has out right now a great universal remote replacement. Supposedly, you know, how you normally in most households have all these remotes that control the DVD and the VCR and the TV and the stereo system. And they're just all over the place. Well, now Logitech has come out with one that you can replace all those in one device. And it looks quite spectacular, too.
Here's something we all need. Shower Shock. Soap embedded with caffeine to wake you up in the morning.
Yes, yes, yes. I don't know how you live without those. LED lanterns. LED light bulbs. Very rarely need replacing.
Well,
very
the LED
nice.
Light bulbs are the wave of the future. A lot of people are going to the LED. Have you seen those new TVs, by the way? And I'm not going to name the manufacturer that actually behind it projects color on the wall.
Yes.
So if you're looking at King Kong or something like that, it's like, you know, come on.
It somehow senses the color. Yeah.
The ambiance create the mood for the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how hot I am for that, but it's there, and that's
because they showed like the Hulk. And the background getting green.
Yeah.
That's distracting. I'm trying to watch the movie.
I was so obsessed with this website, I forgot to, you know. Yeah.
There you go. Ah! All right. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Henright, Steve Ray, Rob. I'm a professional Linton. Me, Nick Francesco. It is 42 minutes after the hour. You are listening to What Do We Want for Christmas on 1180 WHAM.
Hey, laser lips. Your mama was a snowblower.
Oh, that's lovely.
I like it.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
At 46 minutes
Nick,
after the
you
hour,
gotta name that movie.
It's Soundbites. I don't know.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I should know that
movie.
Hey,
Laser Lips. Isn't there It's a robot. The robot.
A movie
one.
That's supposedly getting remade that you talked about in your entertainment portion.
That's getting. Oh, it's Short Circuit.
Yes.
Yes,
thank
it
you.
Is. Yes. Yes, it is. All right, there we go. I am standing here beside myself.
Well, they did do two movies.
Yeah, now
on Short Circuit.
First one again. All right, Houston, we have a problem. One tip for those.
Oh,
using,
you are daring.
One tip for those in the same room as a Wii, the new Wii from Nintendo.
Yeah, my partner Dan's got one of them.
Yeah, one tip for those in the same room as a Wii user.
Yeah.
Duck. Apparently, customers are discovering that Nintendo's new Wii gaming console may have an unintended side effect. Game controllers flying around living rooms and smashing into lamps, windows, televisions, and foreheads. The wireless controller, called the Wii Remote, is designed to attach to the wrist with a strap, and you use it to actually emulate the motions, like
a sword or a tennis thing or a bowling thing.
Many users are apparently using the game with more enthusiasm than Nintendo's testers anticipated, and they are apparently saying the straps break a bit too easily. The president of Nintendo said, "We are investigating. Some people are getting a lot more excited than we expected. We need to better communicate with people how to deal with the Wii as a new form of entertainment." They now have a thing on their website that says, "Do not let go of the Wii remote itself." For example, when people are bowling, they apparently let go of the remote when they let go
the
of the ball. That's not so good. So be a little more careful on how you do that. We're going to go back to the phones. And
here's the boss.
Our next caller is Elaine from Rochester. Hello, Elaine.
Hey there. We have to order one of those TV Be Gone things.
Yeah.
I think every parent needs one to torture their kids.
Yes, yes, yes. My beloved bride, Elaine, is absolutely correct. If you buy one of those TV Be Gone things, you walk by your kids, click, TV goes off.
And, so they're too lazy to get up and go over and turn it back on again.
Well, they've got the remote. They own the remote. That is attached to their wrist with a strap.
Yeah, so their catalog is good for more than just the geeks. It's multiple appeal.
Exactly right. Well, thank you, honey. We're going to take a quick break now, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 49 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Here is a meaningless announcement about nothing.
Yes, here it is. You are listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 53 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Sound and fury signifying nothing. Before we get back to the phones, I should tell you this very semi-exciting. Fox Interactive announces plans to commission a massively multiplayer online game based on the Firefly television series. The Firefly series is set in an incredibly rich and exciting universe. It's Fox's hope that Firefly's passionate and dedicated community of fans will enjoy the chance to become part of the story as they develop and explore the worlds of Firefly. So far, it's not entirely clear what will happen in the game, but many of us, we don't care. We just want to play.
They're calling it the Star Trek of the 21st century. The Fox canceled the TV series after 11 episodes. And a huge fan outcry and letter-writing campaign resulted in the Serenity movie last year to tie up a lot of loose ends. And now we're hearing stories about Serenity books. There's a Serenity role-playing game. There's half a dozen really great Serenity and Firefly podcasts. Yep. And the actors are getting really big on the convention circuit now, too.
Right. We should see that available in 2008. The problem is there's only like a half a dozen main characters, and if you get 700,000 people online all trying to play eight characters, that's going to be interesting. Our next caller is Pat from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Pat. What's your question?
Hi. I have a Windows 98 machine. I also have an XP that I use for the internet and to play Spider. But on my 98, I took it in a couple years ago to add more memory to it.
Mm-hmm.
And when they brought it back, if I boot up the keyboard...
Yep.
That number lock key doesn't turn on. I have to turn it on manually. And I do an awful lot of numbers on this computer, and it annoys me that it doesn't automatically turn on. How can I get it to do that again?
What you got to do is in the BIOS.
I don't know how to get there.
On your 98 machine, when you're booting up, if you keep hitting the delete key.
Well, that's the problem. Depending on what brand of computer it is, it could be delete or
delete
F10
or
F2. Control escape on some Dells.
It's an Acer.
On the do you see depends on the OEM screen when you first turn the computer on before you get to the Windows logo, there's often a text screen At the bottom corner of that text screen,
lower
there should
right
be
hand,
press, you know, press F1 to enter setup or something like that.
Yes, it's there.
So you have to press that key to get into the BIOS setup screen.
And then in one of those screens, usually the second or third one down, you'll see this blue screen divided in half. And usually the second or third one down, you will see different options. And if you select that one and scroll down within that screen, there is an option for number lock.
And I turn num lock on when
you
computer
can
boots.
Enable or disable it. That's what you're looking for is the one that says num lock. You scroll down to that one, hit enter, and you can either enable or disable it.
Okay.
But that's what you're looking for.
Okay, great. And I do the F2 key or whatever, and then I get to...
Yeah, that will take you into the BIOS screen, and you have to look through all of those pages until you find the one that says num lock.
Okay, there's a whole bunch of pages that I have to go through once I get there.
Yeah, like right. I say, usually the second or third one down on the left-hand side.
Second or third one down. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you very much.
Because the first one always just displays, oh, what's
your,
in your machine, your
CPU,
and the floppy,
your
and the hard
yeah.
drives, and yada, right. yada, yada.
There also used to be a little program you could get,
yeah.
numlockon.com, and you'd put that in your
auto-exec.
Auto-exec, and that would do it. But that was back when the old BIOSes didn't let you choose on or off. But
I
should be able to do that, and you should be fine.
I can't go up on the Internet with my XP machine and get NumLock, though, because it's not there anymore, right? NumLock.com.
It's pretty unlikely.
Yeah, Google it. You might find something somewhere.
Okay.
But it's easier just to turn it on in the BIOS.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks. Yeah, that's the tough part nowadays. A bunch of stuff that was available for 98 just isn't anymore.
Yeah, I mean, this is why I'm telling folks right now, again, repeating what I said last week, is if you've got a 98 machine, right now is the time before Vista comes out, because the price of poker is going to go up even more on next year once Vista comes out because of the requirements.
And depending on how old your 98 machine is, it may not be cost effective to upgrade to Vista. Even to XP. If you have to put in more RAM and a bigger hard drive, you're looking at $500-$600 to upgrade to XP. You might as well get a new machine now with XP on it, so you don't have to worry about Vista.
Well, and at this point, a lot of people are saying, you know what? I'm tired of the Windows treadmill. And if I'm going to buy a new machine, a lot of people now are looking at Macs and looking at Linux machines and saying, I can get the same bang for the same buck and get off the treadmill. And both Apple and the Linux folks are hoping that this window, so to speak, of opportunity will translate for them into big sales.
Just this week, we finally took the step. Because, you know, as you saw in our shop, we got some open-air benches.
Yep.
We set up one hard drive with Ubuntu and trying Linux. So we can pop it in and out
to
try it. But yeah, we're trying
it out. I'm telling you, it's fun. This laptop runs Ubuntu. I run Ubuntu as my desktop, both at home and at work. And there's really nothing I can't do. A couple of things are a little harder, but nothing that I normally do every day. I mean, you do word processing, spreadsheet, database, surf the web, all that other stuff. It's all fast and easy under Linux, and it's all free. And I really love, that would be kind of a fun thing to do. Let me see if it's available. Oh, yeah, it is. And oh, look, it's free. And oh, look, I just installed it. It was easy. So that's what I like about it. Well, look, we're done for another week. I want to thank everyone who called in. I apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. Remember, call early, call often. Don't forget to vote on our website at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. Then check out my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
The results.